This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Al-Qarib, the near. You keep those who you love closest to you. Then what about the one who deserves your love the most? Al-Qarib means the near. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself the near in the verse, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. So ask forgiveness from him and repent to him. Indeed, my Lord is near and responsive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to us, even though he's risen above the throne. He's near to us in his knowledge. He's near to us in his care. He hears and sees all, wherever we are. I was once giving a ride to someone who is considered to be the most senior scholar in North America. May Allah preserve him. He spent the 50-minute ride answering my questions, asking me about myself, alternating seamlessly between Quranic verses and Arabic poetry. I was loving it. And every couple of minutes, however, he would all of a sudden raise his hands to the sky and start making passionate dua facing the windshield. And then he'd go back to talking to me. And then he would start making dua again. And then he'd go back to talking to me. And we're just going back and forth like that. And so it got very awkward for me because I'm like, am I interrupting your dua? But him going back and forth between me and dua crystallized the concept for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by Jibreel, what is ihsan? And he said that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him. Anytime that you have a third person in the car, so say you have two people in the front and then you have a third in the back, what do the two people in the front always do with the person in the back? They engage them, right? So you say, hey Ahmed, what do you think about this? Fatima, what? Right? You engage that person because they're there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرْ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعْهُمْ. Allah says there's no gathering of three except that he's their fourth. There's no gathering of five except that he's their sixth. And there's no gathering of more than that or less than that except that he's with them wherever they are. And so him engaging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, engaging al-qarib, being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness, it crystallized that concept for me. So when Jibreel asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is ihsan? And he said, to worship Allah as if you see him, and if you don't see him, to know that he sees you. The third who was amongst us was unseen to me. But for him, it was as if he saw him. Now when we talk about Allah being qareeb, near, there's two manifestations of Allah's nearness. And there's two manifestations with many of his attributes, a general manifestation and a specific manifestation. So the general manifestation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to all of us. He's near to everyone when it comes to his knowledge, again, and his power. But when it comes to the specific manifestation, Allah is nearer to some than others. And the way that we come closer to Allah and we experience more of that nearness is the more we ascend in our iman, our taqwa, our good deeds, the closer we become to Al-Qarib. So how does one come closer to Al-Qarib? How does one become more near to the close, the near himself? Firstly, it's by doing the obligations. In the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ, that my servant does not come closer to me with anything that is more beloved to me than مَا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ, what I've made obligatory on him. And so we know that the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most from us is the obligations. And so me praying my five daily prayers is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than anything else. Fasting the month of Ramadan, obedience and kindness to your parents, paying your obligatory zakat, wearing the hijab, avoiding the things that are haram, because avoiding the haram is also obligatory. So doing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated are the things that bring you closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really important because there are times where people don't pay attention to that. So even in Ramadan, you might find that this person prays Taraweeh for 2 hours and then goes to a cafe for a couple of hours and then comes back for Tahajjud for another 2 hours, and then they get so tired, so exhausted by being up all night that they sleep through Fajr. And so now they did the voluntary at the expense of the obligation. Or you might have a person who gives charity throughout the month of Ramadan, sadaqah this, sadaqah that, sadaqah this, sadaqah that, but they never remember to calculate their zakat. And so they give voluntary charity, but the charity that is obligatory on them, they don't give. And so the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most from us, even if it's less, is to do the obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that we give our zakah, even if it's less, that to give much more, 10 times that amount in voluntary charity. And the hadith continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَا يَزَالُ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Allah says that my servant will continue to come closer to me with voluntary actions until I love them. So then this person will continue to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with extra prayers, fasting Mondays and Thursdays, fasting the three white days, giving sadaqah. After they've covered the obligations, they do the obligations, they continue to do more voluntary actions until they garner the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until Allah loves them. They continue to do more hajj, more umrah, one after the other, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something about this one that He doesn't mention about the first. He says, until I love them, hatta uhibba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The motivation for voluntary actions is different than the motivation for obligations. When people do obligations, yes, part of it is powered by love, but part of it is also powered by fear. A person prays their obligatory prayers because if I don't do this, I don't want to go to the hellfire. But when a person prays a two-unit prayer, completely voluntary, or recites chapters of the Quran, or fasts a day of the year outside of Ramadan, that is a completely voluntary fast, is there any fear that's part of that? No. It's an act that's powered by love. And because it is powered by love, it is reciprocated with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our third way of coming closer to Allah is to spend a lot of time in sujood, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ. The last verse of Surah Al-Alaq, Allah says, prostrate and come near. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you are closest to Allah when you are in sujood. So make a lot of dua. And so every sajda that you make becomes an opportunity for you, it becomes an appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you to have a close audience with Allah. So take advantage of it. You're in an audience with the King of Kings in this moment. So make a lot of dua while you're in sujood. And this brings up a popular question and a very popular obstacle. And that is, what if I don't speak Arabic? I'm being told that sajda is this great arena where I can complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about my problems and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about my aspirations, about my fears, about my problems, about my goals. But how am I supposed to do that if I'm also being told that I have to only communicate to Allah in the salah in Arabic? How am I supposed to passionately be able to make dua for the things that I want if I can't even articulate myself in a language that I'm not fluent in? So the scholars differed with regards to whether or not you're allowed to recite in a language other than Arabic in the salah, or speak in a language other than Arabic in the salah. There are those who didn't allow it completely. There are those who allowed it for people who don't speak Arabic and didn't allow it for people who speak Arabic, independent of your circumstances and your fluency of Arabic. And for those who are interested in a detailed discussion, I would encourage you to read Sheikh Nasheikh Waleed Bisuni's paper on this topic in fiqh issues with regards to new Muslims. We'll leave the link, inshallah ta'ala, in the description of the video. But what I do want to mention is the conclusion that was made by the American Muslim Jurist Association, which is one of our most senior fiqh bodies that we have in the United States. After their conference on contemporary issues facing new Muslims, they mentioned in their declaration that in general, people may supplicate in their native language during the prayer regarding any issue in which it's permissible to supplicate outside of the prayer of religious or worldly matters. Meaning that a person is allowed to make dua in the salah for anything that they want in their native tongue with regards to this world or the next, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the fourth way that a person can take advantage of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qareeb, and come closer to Allah is by taking advantage of the last third of the night, or in the times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closest to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in over 40 hadith, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to as-sama' ad-dunya after one third of the night has passed, or half of the night has passed, or two thirds of the night has passed, and he asks three questions. Who is seeking forgiveness for me that I may forgive them? Who is repenting to me that I may accept their repentance? Who is asking me that I may grant them? And so taking advantage of those time periods and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as our scholars have said, that if a person says they want something and can't wake up to pray tahajjud for it, then it must mean that they don't really want it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is near to us. Every time you come closer to Him, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming closer to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith that whoever comes closer to me a handspan, I come closer to them a cubit. And whoever comes to me walking, I come to him racing. And so the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, if a person ever feels distant from Al-Qareeb, then they should ask themselves, who moved?